Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 329. That's 329. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways how to receive one. It's free of charge. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. We have music. We have a strong message from the Word of God. We'll be continuing on in chapter 7, as I said we would yesterday, Lord willing, and also we have a lot of commentary, plus some testimonies. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, we thank Your holy name for pouring out Your Spirit upon us. Lord, You say so many rugged things in Your Word. You call people dogs and sons of dogs, and you call people bastards, which means that they don't have you, Father, as their God. You mentioned the word hell, the town of hell, that you're going to send people there. They actually said themselves there. We ask, Lord, that you open the kingdom of heaven, pour out your Spirit upon me, and let everything that is said today on this tape be directly from your throne in heaven. Lord, bless the songs, the reading of the testimonials, the word, your word, and the expounding of it, that souls may be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, we just have a small gathering here in the studio where I do my messages. Actually, I'm here in Southern California, in Los Angeles, and I love talking about Jesus all the time. We have a song here that I did with a lot of my friends. It's called Stand By Me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, now who knew next wind and water? Stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, now who never lost in that world, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Now who never lost in that world, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Praise the Lord. I love to record. I love to record music. And more than that, I love to record the messages of the Lord that the Lord gives me. So as I was saying in the message yesterday, that we have to see Jesus. We have to meet him face to face. In other words, you can do that because God said that his word, the Bible, is God. The word of God is God. That is God. Because when you receive the word of God into your heart, with your mind, your soul, and it's saturated in you to do it, then what happens is you become perfect, because no imperfection shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you may go ask your pastor. Pastor Tony Alamo says that we have to be perfect to get into the kingdom of heaven. Is that right, my pastor? And they're 99% out of 100. They're going to tell you, oh, no, don't listen to that crazy Tony Alamo. He's absolutely crazy. God just wants you to enjoy everyday life and kick back and just do whatever you want. But see, it isn't Tony Alamo that is the only one that says that, because Tony Alamo learned that from God. Amen. And of course, if you want to go to your pastors that don't believe the Bible and have them lick your wounds because you don't want to pick up the cross and take up the cross or pick up the cross, whatever you want to call it, and then follow after the Lord, well, that's your business. The Lord gives you a will to do what he says, and then you think your pastor's so deep when in fact he's might be very shallow. If he tells you that you don't have to be perfect to get into the kingdom of heaven and that there's no way to be perfect, well, then the man is lying to you. He's a liar and you shouldn't listen to him. You have to find yourself another pastor. And so the Bible states that we must be perfect. Be perfect, the Bible says. Or we can never fully enter the kingdom of God. We can't enter the kingdom of God. We can't even enter the kingdom of God here in this world, on this earth. We must be in his kingdom right here, fully in his kingdom. Not one foot in his kingdom here on earth. He says, when the kingdom of heaven cometh without observation, it comes without anybody observing it. It's because the whole Spirit of God, the perfect Spirit of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, enters into your mortal body, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the kingdom of heaven will not tolerate imperfection. But as long as the Lord sees you striving to, we must never strive, but as he sees you growing in his power, as you are, when it says we must never strive, it says we must strive for perfection. We must, in other words, walk in the Spirit. Because if we don't, we'll never be dead. And the Bible states that we must be dead in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must be sitting with Christ in heavenly places. That's what the Bible really says. Amen?
Amen.
And if you have, I'm not against good pastors at all. Not in the least. I'm for them 100%. As a matter of fact, I finance a lot of them. And I send Bibles to them because they're doing a good job of preaching the real truth, the Word of God. There's nothing that can be that. So we begin to do this, to go through this process of becoming perfect by believing in Him, the Word of God. Because He, again, I say, He is the Word of God. Believing in him means that we read his word. That's how we meet him face to face. We also feel, we can feel his spirit. When we read the word, the Spirit of God comes to, it witnesses within us. There's a we can feel the Lord. I mean, He's real. He's more real than you and I are.
Amen.
Amen. We can't believe in Him if we don't know Him. And so how do we know Him? We have to know Him by reading His Word. And when we read His Word, we know what He's all about. His Word is spirit in His life. Living as children of the King requires moment-by-moment acts of faith and trust. Being able to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ works the same way. Just as in this life, we never fully will be anything if we don't belong in God's kingdom. You have to be in His kingdom, not one foot in and one foot out. If you're in His kingdom, you have to be living the kingdom life. The Bible states that we must be perfect to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And for the kingdom of heaven to do its work within us and through us. Therefore, the possibility of being perfect is absolute. Because when we're walking in the spirit of, or the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we're perfect. So we need to look forward to the time when we become perfect, absolutely perfect. Do we have a testimonial here?
Yes.
Okay, let me hear what. Where's it from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay, we've got thousands of testimonials. We are only able to, because I want to bring a message, able to read one or two a day. Sometimes I don't even want to do any of them because the message, the Lord presses me forward. Then what? Go ahead.
Dear brother in the Lord, Pastor Lamo, Christian greetings. I wish to acknowledge receipt of the booklet entitled The Messiah and Samples of Other Literature. I thank God for every piece I received. I have really been blessed. I was so excited and could not wait to read them and pass them on to others. The messages are really soul-touching and a great tool for evangelism, as seen by the responses we have already begun to see. May I request the following literature? And then he lists 13 different titles. I am really excited once more to be identified with your ministry. We are together in reaching the unreached for the gospel through your literature, which has proved inspiring to many. Meanwhile, I am mobilizing a team of faithful ones in the distribution of the above literature. I hope and pray that this partnership will continue as long as we shall live. I also pray that the good Lord will open a door for you to come to Zambia one day. May the Lord bless you abundantly as we anticipate your positive and urgent response. Yours in the Lord, Pastor John, from Chingola, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, praise the Lord. Then do we have one more?
Yes. From Greenville, Ohio. Pastor Tony, I feel like I know you already from the way my brother Gary talks about you. He loves your ministry. He suggested that I listen to some of your material. I am interested in getting some CDs, parts 117 through 135, and a Messiah book. Gary says they are all really good. I will have to wait for a few days to be able to send you a love offering for your materials, if that's okay. I'm looking forward to hearing what all you have to share. Bless your ministry in His love, Terry from Greenville, Ohio.
I want to really make one thing. I keep trying to make this as clear as possible. You don't have to have any money to receive my literature. All of it is absolutely free, and as much of it as you want. Because to me, the glory, you're giving glory to the Lord to distribute this literature everywhere. And you're really adding up, a lot of admiration from the Lord when you distribute my literature, because I know that it wins souls, and you'll see that it does as well. So I really insist that this literature, and if you need Bibles, are free of charge. And these CDs and the tapes, it's all free of charge. I'm not kidding, all right? Yeah. So don't, test me out. If you really want to win souls for Christ, you'll get the same reward that I do and everybody in our church does if you're a distributor of this literature. Now, you can have as much as you need. If you need, you know, of course you're going to start out slow. And then if you, what I did when I first got saved is I went down to a place called the Free Tract Society. The Lord hadn't at that time given me the gift to be able to write literature, nor did I have the ability to preach or teach because I was a novice. And the Bible says that it's, he doesn't, through the Apostle Paul, he said that he suffers not a novice to teach. And because you'll fall into the same condemnation as the devil if you teach. But I'm the teacher now. You can take my literature, which has a great deal of teaching in it, and you can distribute it, and people recognize that it was the Holy Spirit that laid those words down on the, those pages. And you'll get the credit for the distribution, and it's free of charge. Here's a ready-made ministry for you, free of charge. And if you want to use your home, your garage, your business place at certain times of the day or night, we have services in all of our churches at 8 o'clock every evening. And all of my churches have services twice on Sunday, at 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night. And we serve meals after each service. And we read the Bible. You can stay and read Bible, or we actually take you to church and take you back. We have vehicles for this. We witness and testify here in Hollywood, right on the Hollywood Boulevard in downtown Los Angeles, Santa Monica, and other places in the city. And then we have hundreds and hundreds of distributors all over the United States, and really altogether thousands of them throughout the world. And they're distributing the literature, and there's a great need for more distributors. And that's what the Lord wants, is for us to just, you know, if you can't preach like Peter and you can't pray like Paul, you can tell the world about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And if you can't even talk, you can take this literature and distribute it. And you can win souls. They'll get saved by the millions. And the literature is here. You can get just a few of them, or you can get a hundred of them, or thousands of them, or millions of them. Now, don't be shy. You know, this is the work of the Lord. This is what the Lord has laid upon my heart. And hopefully you'll believe what I'm telling you, that it's available free of charge. If you don't have any money at all, you don't have to send me any money at all. I'm not in the ministry for the money. Before I was saved, I did a promotion for the original drummer of the Beatles. His name's Pete Best. His mother had recorded 6 Beatle albums with all the Beatles on it, even Tony Sheridan and Stu Sutcliffe, which I understand died, and that has all the other Beatles on it except Ringo. And I own that. And if I was interested in money, I would sell that Beatles album. And if I was a phony, I'd just retire. I wouldn't take all the false accusations and the abuse I do. I'd go someplace in Europe or over, you know, somewhere in Israel and just live on the fat of the land. You know, I mean, this, I've been offered $50 million. I've been told that I could get $100 million out of that album, and I have got it. I won't sell it at all, just to prove to you and everyone else in the world, just to prove to you that I'm not in the ministry for money. We don't make any money in the ministry. Do you know we go out and work for our money? And if you're a pastor, you'll work too. I mean, I work. The Bible says if we don't work, we don't eat. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to realize the emphasis, there's an emphasis that we are not going to get into the kingdom of heaven by sitting around. But there's a cross that we have to go to, and not for suffering. We have to go to the cross to die. Amen?
Amen.
We can't be doing our own thing and get into the kingdom of heaven. It's a cross isn't suffering. I hear all, you know, people stretch out their hands and they say, I'm being crucified for Christ. You know, they're looking for sympathy from people. But if you are looking for sympathy from people, then you are not dead yet. You're not going to try to draw attention to yourself or your flesh. You're going to preach Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And whatever death that you have to go through, in other words, you have all these lusts, you have to put the cross to them. Because you have to put to death every lust, every wicked desire, every wicked thought, and put them under the cross. Just kill them with the cross. So the actual, it's actually is death, not suffering. That's what the cross is. When a person goes to the cross, the main thing to go there is not to suffer, but to die. When I mention execution by firing squad, or being put to sleep with a needle, or going to the gas chamber, or being suffocated, or being shot in a drive-by shooting, or to be gassed in a gas chamber, or hung on a rope. We have to understand that that means not suffering. That means we're going to die. Amen?
Amen.
That's death. And it's the same thing in the time of the Lord Jesus. Whenever the cross was mentioned, whenever he stated the cross, the understanding of it was death. That was execution by the Romans, was the cross. Therefore, the cross is not only a painful punishment, but also a deadly punishment. I mean, for sure, if you're nailed to a cross and hanging there for hours, that's death. Amen?
Amen.
You may suffer. You're going to suffer and die. But the main thing that you're there for is for the death. The cross doesn't merely cause man or woman to suffer, but the cross puts a man or a woman to death. Likewise, the hearing of the cross is not a matter of suffering, but of bearing, putting to death, not of standing on the ground of suffering, but of standing in the place of death. I remember many times when I felt that I was going to die. We had the West Hollywood Sheriff Department here in Los Angeles raiding us almost every night. And some people that call themselves Christians say you're not supposed to mention suffering. Those are not Christians. If we're not supposed to mention it, then why does the Lord mention it in the Bible? Amen?
Amen.
But we suffered it with a smile on our face because we knew through the persecution that we are right in the eyes of the Lord. Because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen?
Amen.
But persecution, we have to put that to death, too. We have to just say, Lord, this and count it all joy. Amen?
Amen.
That we're being persecuted and that we're suffering, but that isn't, it's a part of ourselves putting ourselves to death because we can't cry or feel sorry for ourselves. To bear the cross is not to bear suffering, but to bear death. Not to put ourselves under suffering, but to put ourselves under death. There is a great big difference in this regard. However, between the two meanings of being crucified and bearing the cross. Now, suffering is you're bearing the cross after you've been crucified. Amen?
Amen.
But you also put every time that you're persecuted or you suffer, you would consider yourself suffering, you still have to put the cross to that. Feeling sorry for yourself only means that you're not dead yet.
Amen.
Okay? And the Lord requires that we are dead. When you see a dead person in a mortuary, laying in a coffin, they don't suffer. Amen?
Amen.
You could put a cut on it. You know, you do anything to them, and they're not going to respond because they're dead. Now, thus, the bearing of the cross is nothing else but a declaration that in this universe, the death of the cross accomplished by Christ, who has become the life-giving Spirit. Now, if you want to have the life-giving Spirit living in you, then when the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, reveals the cross to us, we receive it by faith, thereby applying the death of the cross to us and not departing from it. What this is also is called the bearing of the cross. In other words, to bear the cross means to bear the death of Christ on us and to allow the death of Christ to work on us continually in order to put ourselves to death. There's no profit in ourselves unless we're dead and letting the Spirit of the Lord let us live a godly life, a kingdom of heaven life. Okay, we're going to continue on in chapter 7 now. We've read part of chapter 6, the last few verses in chapter 6, and now we've done verse 6, right, in chapter 7. All right, so let's continue on. Let's read verse 6 again.
But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit.
Right. Now, the law, when we realize that when the Spirit of God caused realization to be upon us, that we are sinning and that we're going to hell if we continue on, then this fact that the Lord teaches us, it's a schoolmaster, the Bible says, that teaches us something. And that something is that we're sinners and we're on our way to hell because the law never goes away. Now, a lot of people like to tell you that the law is over with. No, the moral law is not gone away. The Lord said that he never came to destroy the law, that he came to fulfill it, to show that he could keep the moral law. The law of sacrificing animals in place or as a type or a figure or a shadow of Christ's blood, that part of the law is gone. And that was the biggest part of the law or the precepts and the statutes of the law, that you had to acknowledge that Christ was going to come by sacrificing, bringing an animal, a lamb or a bullock or some sort, all the different ones, things like the Lord told us that we must bring to the priests, and they would cut their heads off as a symbol that this is a sacrifice similar to the great sacrifice that's coming, which is God in the flesh, who will come into the world in the flesh and then be killed for us because there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So, in other words, Christ had to bear the cross. And he had to be perfect so that his blood would be perfect enough of a detergent to wash away all of our evil, filthy, former sins that we've committed. So when he went to the cross and shed his blood, he had sacrificed everything in his whole life for us. And he wanted to show that there's no need for animal sacrifices, that part of the law. But he didn't come to destroy the moral law. The moral law never changes. God wrote the moral law. You know, Moses wrote the law and everything, but God himself wrote the moral law, the Ten Commandments, with his finger, which is the Holy Spirit. He burned it into two pieces of enduring stone, like granite. And he did that with his own finger to show that this is the part of the law, the moral law, that never ends. And Jesus reemphasized that when he came into the world. He says, I have not come into the world to destroy the law, but I have come into the world to fulfill the law, to show that in a human body, I'm God in a human body, and when you get saved, you'll be God. God will be in you also in your human body. So therefore, you have the same advantages as I did, but you also are in the world, and you are still in human flesh, just like I was, and still the devil's going to tempt you. And if you, therefore, I have given you the Comforter, to take the edge off of this life, which is of myself, because I've become the life-giving spirit to live within your mortal body, to cause you, to deliver you from that horrible satanic element in your flesh that was always wanting you to lust, that's always wanting you to sin. And so if you yield to that horrible element in your body that says, oh, I want to do good, Lord, I want to go to heaven, I want to do this, I want to do that, but yet you sin, that means that you're not in the Spirit and you're not saved. And or if you've been in the Spirit and you just go ahead and become the sacrifice for Satan, to show the world that you're going to thumb your nose at God, and you just figure that God knows that you're weak, and that you can't possibly make it in this world because your pastor or somebody else told you, or your flesh tells you, I want to sin so bad, you're saying, that I just don't care if I go to heaven. And, oh, I did sin, but I'm okay. There are sins unto death that you're not going to be okay. That isn't going to work. That's not Bible. The Bible says once you've tasted of the good word of the Lord and you've tasted in the Holy Spirit, read the first chapter of Romans and see what that's all about. And then also Peter tells you if you sin willingly, wantingly, knowingly, and you can, after you've known everything, and then there remains no more forgiveness for you. So, as I said, when the Lord enters into you, it's like the Garden of Eden. But you say, I was deceived. Well, Eve was deceived, but she still had to die. Amen? She still had to go to hell. And she would have if the Lord didn't come into the world, if she didn't believe that the Lord was coming into the world as a man. To shed his precious blood for her, to forgive her of the sin of listening to Satan rather than the Lord. Because if you listen to Satan, and he says, oh, you don't have to be perfect. Oh, you can go ahead and sin. God will forgive you. It doesn't say that in the Bible. He says he forgives your former sins. Amen?
Amen.
And then also, after you're saved, he'll forgive sins of ignorance. But if you know that you're not supposed to fornicate or you'll go to hell, or you're not to commit adultery, or you're not to you're to obey those that have the rule over you, because the Lord doesn't leave you alone. He gives you pastors, prophets, teachers, preachers, evangelists, helpers, to show you these things from the Word of God. So if you have a person like that, and you've listened to the Word of God, then you're without excuse. If you go out and commit adultery and fornication, you can sit and just listen to Satan's voice because you see somebody that you think is more attractive than your husband or more attractive than your wife. You can't do that. Or if you think that you can persecute churches, you know, I know of a lot of bad cults in this world, but I would never persecute them. I know of all kinds. I see them on the news, child molesters. I see all these Catholic priests that have molested little boys. But what I do is I'm not going to go out and send them to prison. I'm going to preach the gospel to them that they will repent and be forgiven and become like I am, a man that wants to serve the Lord, that is serving the Lord, all right? But I have to put all those worldly feelings of, you know, and then to hear these people preaching, why, there's nothing wrong with teen sex. What's the difference? I mean, the person that commits fornication is going to hell. So some judge the other day sent a guy to prison for 10 years for having teen sex. Do you believe that? And all he was 17 years old himself. Well, he's still going to hell if he doesn't repent. Amen?
Amen.
What does that got to do? You can't have sex and get into heaven unless you're married. Okay?
Amen.
Now, the age doesn't matter. Why do they make a definition? Somebody that's maybe 40 or 50 years old that marries somebody that's 20, they think that's crazy. Well, that's not crazy in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. That's the rule of thumb in the Bible, is where an older man marries a younger woman.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
What's wrong with that? I mean, if people are in love, and if they know that the person, and they're of the Lord, well then, there isn't anything wrong. Look at Joseph, who was married to Mary. Mary was just preteen when they first got married, and then she was a teenager. And this man was up in his 70s. He was an old man. And that's why God gave her to him, because he wasn't a pervert. All right?
Amen.
And he had money, and he could support her. But what they want is teens to have sex, and there's everything wrong. That's why this is Satan's government. And the Lord said it would be. It would be totally contrary from the Word of God. Now, we either have to believe God or the Antichrist government that we see today. Or the, you know, if two young people want to get married and they're of the Lord, and that's fine too. If a man has a job and he can support his wife and he can support children, if they, the marriage, if they have children in their marriage. So this is the bearing of the cross, though, to see all these ungodly, seducing spirits in this world telling people, you know, what they're going to do and sending people to prison on false charges and on charges that don't mean anything. If a person commits fornication or adultery, the Bible says they're to be stoned to death if a woman does. And a man, too. If he commits adultery with somebody else's wife, that's why David was at fault, because the psalmist David did that. There's people trying to say that I do that, that I marry somebody else's wife, and that I'm married to hundreds of wives. And all. I mean, this is the only thing that they're doing that for is to make it to where you don't want to listen to me. Okay?
Amen.
Because that isn't true. Okay, now the bearing of the cross differs from the crucifixion, the accomplished fact of Christ on the cross is called the crucifixion. while our daily experience of the cross is called the bearing of the cross. Therefore, the crucifixion is accomplished by the Lord, and the bearing of the cross is our responsibility in experiencing it. Now, when we see all these things happening in the news media and in the world, we're to put the cross to it because it differs from the Word of God. Okay? Anything different than the Word of God is Satan. Yeah, everything is either of God or of Satan. And so if you can plainly see from the Word of God that everything other than the Word of God is Satan, then you must put the cross to it if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. That is, if you want your spirit to be perfect. So the crucifixion at Calvary, or on Calvary, has been accomplished by the Lord. Once and once only, once and for all. And when we receive what the Lord has accomplished, what he has done on the cross, we are able to receive it once and for all also. Therefore, there's no excuse to you after you receive crucifixion, the Lord's crucifixion, for you to get back off the cross and get back into the world and disobey the Word of God. Every point of it must be kept. You must submit yourself under elders, tutors, governors in the Word of God, and just as Jesus did. He had to submit himself unto his mother and his father. Yeah, and he was very submissive. But when we go on to experience the cross after crucifixion, then we bear the cross. We bear it continuously. Not only do we bear it daily on a day-to-day basis and at all times, but we also bear it everywhere we go and in all places. Now, the seducing spirits will say, go in here. When you know it's a porno parlor or a whorehouse or watching porn or things like that on television, you know better than that. You got to put the cross to that idea, to that opinion of what the devil, the spirit of Satan, is telling you. But anyway, let's go into the seventh chapter of the book of Romans. We only have a few minutes here.
Verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Yeah, because walking according to the law of sin and death is the kind of law that we lived before. Oh, we believed in that law so much because, you know, sinning makes you feel good, you know, in your flesh. Sin is fun in your flesh. No one denies that. That's why it's a cross. You have to deny yourself that and take up your cross and bear it and put the cross to, and then pretty soon your spirit becomes so strong and powerful that these weak and beggarly things, the things of this world, look so evil to you and so dirty, and you just hate it so much to even think about it, and you hate when it's going on. If you see it on TV or anything, it's disgusting to you. Okay, so the things you once loved, you will now hate when you're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, because the Lord hates that. Okay, now go on.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law.
Yeah, the law teaches you what sin is and what you have to do in order to get into heaven. Then what else?
For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in...
Okay. Taking occasion by the commandment, because you know what sin is, you know, like the big bopper says, he says, you know what my flesh likes, because I'm not spiritual. There's all these kind of messages coming from song and dance and people and commentators on television, comedians, filth, which, it will be disgusting to you when you're in the spirit. Now go on.
But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence.
Yeah, because Paul could see that he was doing all kinds of evil things, even to the point of taking Christians to be murdered and actually helping to murder Christians. He said he was the chief sinner. Then what?
For without the law, sin was dead.
Right. Without the knowledge of the law, sin is... you don't think of sin as anything. It's just dead. It's fun. Then what?
For I was alive without the law once.
Yeah, I was alive when I was sinning. Oh, it was like a whole life, of sin. Oh, it was so wonderful. And you just thought everything was fine because ignorance was bliss. And then God's powerful wisdom, knowledge, and understanding shone some light into your soul. Then what?
But when the commandment came...
The commandments, the light of God came. Then what?
Sin revived and I died.
Yeah. He says, then I knew what sin was, and it revived in me, and I said, oh my God, this is, I've been sinning. Okay? The light of God's law shone on me and says, ooh, wow, this is, it revived. Then I had to die. I had to die out to sin. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death.
Yeah, it was death, because death to my old life. My old life, the life of sin. Then what?
For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me.
Yeah, because when I learned the commandment, then it slew the me that I enjoyed, all the filth of the world, to be free and just do anything I want. Then I was slain because the law slew me. I'm going to pay an eternity of punishment here if I don't change my ways. But how can I? Because I still, I know that I'm wrong, but I can't do anything about it. Okay, then what?
Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me?
Yes, it did. But you did your old way to death if you want to go to heaven. Then what?
God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good.
Right, because when the law tells you that what good is, and then you know that whenever you're doing sin, he started when he was unsaved, he started getting convicted. Because he saw the Lord and he knew that the things that he was doing was wrong, and he knew he was sinning, and he knew he killed Christians, and it hit him like 1,000 tons of bricks. And then he saw, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit fornication, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not covet, and then what?
That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful.
Yes, because once I read the commandment and believed it, then sin, the things I was doing, was more evil, more sinful. Then what? Because it registered in my soul then. Okay, then what?
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not.
Yeah, well, the things that I'm doing, I don't want to allow anymore. I'm not going to allow anymore. Then what?
For what I would, that do I not.
But what I would, I'd like to follow the Lord, but I don't do it. I don't, because I have no power of God in me. The Holy Spirit has not crucified me yet. Then what?
But what I hate, that do I.
Yeah, I hate sin now that I know what the law says, but I still do it because I don't have the power of God in me to not do it. And then what?
If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
I'm saying that the law is good then. Once I receive that light from the Lord, then what?
Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Right, so I'm saying the devil, and he's saying the devil dwells in his flesh. And so he has to keep his flesh under. Then what?
For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Oh, no, if it's no good thing, then it is the devil.
Amen? Amen.
Okay, then what?
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not.
He doesn't find anything. And at the end of this chapter, he says, how can I get out of this miserable situation that I'm in? And he says, I thank God for Christ Jesus, the life-giving spirit that enters into me. And then chapter 8 goes into that, that therefore there's no condemnation to those that walk, not after the flesh, but after the spirit, that walk in the Holy Spirit, that are mortified by the Holy Spirit, that all the different things that are sin are mortified. All my lusts are mortified, put to death by the Holy Spirit. Then what?
For the good that I would, I do not.
Keep going,
but
Pastor.
The evil which I would not, that I do.
That is in the flesh. But he is no longer in the flesh. Then what?
Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me.
Yes, and that is the same thing with everybody. That's why you have to, on a day-to-day basis, walk with the cross, which is with the death of Christ, the crucifixion on you, and then you have to bear the cross to stay alive, because the life in you is so precious. Then keep going. What verse are you on?
Verse 22.
Okay, keep going.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against...
In the flesh, yeah. Then what? That's why the flesh has, the cross has to be put to it. Then what?
Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, and Christ is the life-giving spirit, and his spirit is so powerful that it will resurrect you from the dead. A dead body is impossible to raise from the dead unless it's the Holy Spirit, the spirit of eternal life that will do that. And then what?
So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Yeah, so he says, not to walk in the flesh. Do not walk in the flesh. Walk after the Spirit. So, the first verse in chapter 8 now.
There is therefore now no condemnation.
No condemnation, because he's not going to walk in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
To them which are in Christ Jesus.
That are in Christ Jesus. In, that means he's the life-giving Spirit. The resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. Praise the Lord, and I
Amen.
See that my time is up. So do you want to walk after the flesh for the rest of your dead life? Or do you want your life to very well be dead and walk after the resurrection of life in Christ Jesus? If you do, you could do that by saying this prayer. God is going to give me some more messages, and make sure you tune in tomorrow, because there'll be another message that will strengthen your soul. Just say this prayer to the Lord now, and receive the Spirit rather than walking in the flesh, and receive the Spirit every day. You have to walk after the Word of God, which is Spirit and life. Okay, now say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins and of my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart. Lord Jesus, wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away that comes unto you. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, Lord, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise the Lord. Now just raise your hands and praise the Lord and thank him for saving your soul. And continue doing that on a daily basis, because the Lord's power, he says, he lives, inhabits the praises of his saints. You become a saint right now, a son of God or a daughter of the Lord. So Sharon, tell him four different ways to receive a copy of program number 329.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Don't fail to tune in tomorrow. Let's keep this eternal life that the Lord has now given you alive forever and to the end. Amen?
Amen.
Let's keep the Spirit of God in you because, you know, everyone has this problem in the flesh, which is Satan. And that only way to keep that problem down is to stay in the Spirit. This is now H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing Life Prayer Song.